Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good morning, everyone. I am Jody Jackson from Fox Sports Arizona, filling in for Brad Sesmat, and glad to be with you here this morning. We are continuing to talk a lot about football and the Arizona Cardinals. News this morning that the Cardinals will play in London next year in Week 7 or Week 8. So that's a hot topic. Also, injuries to the Cardinals. They just continue to mount. The offensive line just decimated. It was before this past weekend, and now DJ Humphreys is in the concussion protocol. So they are going to have to patch up that O-line. And linebacker Deion Buchanan, it looks like he will be out. Bit of a concern with a high ankle sprain that might need surgery. So it tells you how bad that ankle sprain is. And Scooby Wright, the star at U of A, has been on the Browns practice squad all year long. It looks like he is coming in and will be signed with the Cardinals. This is according to Mike Jarecki, who reported this yesterday. So Mike Jarecki with the scoop there, and it looks like Scooby Wright will be coming in. And Eric Sorensen joining me. And Eric, I know you know the family as well, so Scooby's got to be pretty excited to be joining the Cardinals, right?
There we go. Now I'm on.
I Funny surprised how that you works. There, didn't
no,
I?
No, I just had to push a button.
I thought I was going to talk again and ramble for like 6 minutes like I did yesterday,
button.
Right?
That's okay. We're kind of just feeling each other out a little bit. Yeah, I spoke to someone close to Scooby this morning, and apparently he is on a plane, head to Arizona, will sign when he arrives. He's excited, and there is a little bit of a history between Scooby Wright and Bruce Arians. I know Coach Arians really wanted to get Scooby into camp right after or right before the Browns drafted him in the seventh round last year. So the Cardinals need linebackers, and it looks like one of our own is coming back to Arizona. So.
Should be fun. Should be exciting. You know, but right now, unfortunately for the Cardinals, it's about building for next year for Scooby. It'll be about maybe getting a job with this team, proving himself in the last three games, if he does get a chance to play, of course. And, you know, it's a situation right now where yesterday out at camp, you know, Bruce Arians was more blunt than I've really ever seen him. And the man is blunt. The man is honest, Eric. You were out there, too. You know, first of all, he made sure everyone knew that he does not plan on firing special teams coach Amos Jones.
Or any of his coaches.
Yeah, I took it to mean that. He said coaching changes. So
coaching changes.
I can't help thinking, though, in the offseason, you know, you look at it, and I don't have anyone in mind. It's not certainly Amos Jones, results-wise, would be on the top of that list. So, I mean, you know, people want to head on a platter right now.
Yeah.
And when special teams have been as bad as they've been, and they don't get much worse than Sunday, missed field goal, you know, some bad snaps, blocked extra point that went back for two, missed extra point, punting, not good once again.
And Coach Arians, Jody, he's very transparent with his players, and at times he's been very blunt and honest with the media. So just judging from his history, I have to take him at his word. But I wonder if the trickle down and the pressure from the people above him within the organization will make some change, will force him to make some changes, because the fan base, the people that support that team, you're right, they definitely want to see some different bodies down there.
Someone
on the sidelines.
Someone has to pay.
Both in uniform and in the golf shirts.
Exactly.
With the headset on.
Well, I think it's a done deal. I think you're going to see different guys in uniform. And look, I cover these guys every week. I hate to see guys lose their jobs. And kicker in particularly is a position where, and Bruce talked about this because his son Jake was a kicker. You get that moment, okay? You might get one or two moments in a game, and you know you're under the spotlight and you have to make it. And it's not Chandler's like 15 of 19 this year, but you know missing clutch kicks, it hurts. And you know they might be looking for more veteran type guys at the snapper position. Kicker, punter has been rough. Drew Butler, it's been, you know, he had one real good one on Sunday. I think that was about it. And then, you know, so it never falls on one unit. But for special teams this year for the Cardinals, it's made such a large impact that you really can point to a lot of the things that they've haven't done. Then how about Justin Bethel? Bruce Arians was asked about Bruce or Justin at cornerback. And whether how that's going, his transition. And, you know, we know he's been banged up. And Bruce has said, I think the question was, is it a work in progress? And he said it is a failure in progress.
Yeah, like I said, he's about as transparent of a head coach as you can get. So
You got to love the honesty. You know, and speaking of that, back
does
to
that hurt, does that hurt the psyche of a locker room after a while when the team is losing and it's not as though Arians and his staff have fallen on the sword very much this season, and now it's really become player X didn't do their job. It's not a coaching situation. It's a player situation.
Yeah.
It's more on them as it is on us. And I'm just curious, okay, the playoffs are, like we talked about yesterday, the playoffs are not going to happen. How is this team going to respond with still, it's not like they have one game left. They have three games left. They
and
have
two
almost,
on the road.
Of course. And
Christmas
two of those,
Eve and New Year's
and
Eve.
And two of those are in the NFC West. Yeah. So I just wonder how this team is going to respond now knowing that all the air has been taken out of the balloon, and now they just have to be professional and go out and play the last three games.
I think my biggest concern with that is Carson Palmer behind a line that now Ulrich John, you might say, if you haven't been paying attention, he's been playing for the Cardinals. Okay, Ulrich John, and he's now out. DJ Humphries is out. There's a bit of a concern there for me, for sure. What can you do? You know, what can you do in the passing game with a line that really hasn't played together and some guys that really haven't played in the NFL very long? So for me, that's not only a concern with what can you do offensively and can you move the ball, but can you keep Carson Palmer healthy? Because as much as there are many people out there, and personally, I do see where they're coming from, but I don't understand a ton of blame on Carson Palmer. I understand he's been playing at a lower level than last year, but this is a guy that's hard to find in the NFL, and the Cardinals did go out and find him a couple years ago, and it's that quarterback that you needed. You can see Larry Fitzgerald, all these guys, all these targets, they needed a guy like Carson, and whether he can continue doing it next year, you know, we shall see. But the one thing that you know is, I mean, Eric, you look back to last year. What was the one thing everyone said? We have to keep Carson Palmer healthy because we can't go in like we did the previous year limping into a playoff game with Ryan Lindley. You know, you lost Drew Stanton, and then you go in and you have to have it was like Carson Palmer healthy is our key. If we have that, we can go to the Super Bowl. Well, this year he's been healthy. But the other, the other positions, there are just guys that have had bad years, down years, mediocre years. They've been guys that have not been healthy. So, you know, and I look back, this is old news, but, you know, Rashad Johnson and Jerrod Powers losing those veterans, I mean, that's the decision the Cardinals make. You have to make business decisions. Everybody does. The Patriots do it. The Steelers do it. The Cardinals do it. Everyone makes these decisions, but those guys are hard to replace, and Tyrann Mathieu hasn't been healthy, and yet the defense has actually been pretty good. So the team's been a lot of flux. There's no question. But yesterday was interesting. I just wanted to bring that up because of Bruce Arians being very, very honest. And one thing people are skeptical about is that, oh, they're saying, okay, what if he's just saying that about Amos Jones in public and he doesn't really feel that way and he's going to evaluate him? And I'll tell you what, when you hear Bruce Arians talk and the way he said that yesterday, that was not a lie. Okay. You can see it in his face. This is a man that's been in football for, you know, pretty much all his life. And he's a guy that believes in his coaching staff. And I don't believe he would sacrifice wins just to save a friend's job. I can't see that happening. So, you know, that's one thing that you look at. And we want to talk about, though, the guests coming up on the show. Speaking of the NFL, it is a heavy NFL show as we are, you know, in week 15 of the NFL season, and Peter King will join us in a bit when we come back, and Michael Fabiano, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst, he will join us, and trust me, he is just that. The man has a ton of knowledge, and you want to listen to him if you're putting a lineup together. Peter King, as always, has great insight of the guys inside the Cardinals organization, and we'll talk about the Cardinals and the Rams playing in London. You know, teams don't seem to want to go overseas, and yet the power of the NFL, four games in London next year, and for the Cardinals, it will be their first time going across the pond, as they say. They did play in Mexico in 05, you may remember that, and the NFL returned to Mexico this year. But that'll be interesting for the Cardinals. One thing I hope that they do is kind of conveniently schedule that bye. And I think that's kind of the point of having it in week 7 or week 8 is that you make this easier on the teams by having a bye week right in the middle. And the Cardinals have actually had the bye in the middle of the last few years, and it's very beneficial rather than having it too early or too late.
You think the players, Jody, are excited to go to London? I don't think they would be, right?
I think they'd rather go in the off season when they can spend a couple weeks and enjoy themselves and really... That's the thing. I mean, even as a media member, I thought of some of our colleagues, you know, in the media that will be traveling over there. Yep. I don't expect to be, but there was a time when I would go on the road with the Cardinals for actually a number of years, but I haven't done it in a number of years. But, you know, you kind of, it's just so tight, you know, and you're working and it's not always the fun that you think it would be.
And so, the atmosphere of those games are odd because It's a neutral site game, but it's a very unique neutral site game. Have you watched a lot of the London games?
Not really.
So you'll have like...
I usually get up and see that, you know, a couple of my players on my fantasy team are in action, and hopefully I have set my lineup properly.
That's right. Isn't that where we're all at?
Especially in Arizona.
Early. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It's like 6:30 in the morning, isn't it?
But you watch, like, say the Bengals are playing the Redskins like they did earlier in the year in London. Yeah. You'll see people with Aaron Rodgers jerseys, with Khalil Mack jerseys, with... Des Bryant jerseys. It's a very eclectic crowd. Yeah. It's a very good crowd, but it just has to be kind of surreal for a player because you're not really going into enemy territory. It's definitely not necessarily a home game.
Right.
And it's almost like you're just playing at a park with a bunch of random people watching. It's just very, it's always overcast. It always seems like it's going to rain or it's about to rain. The field's always pretty choppy by the fourth quarter. It's just a whole different vibe.
There's no attachment to the people in the stands.
None.
Yeah.
None.
There's no love or hate or any. It's just apathy.
Like when the Raiders played at Mexico City against the Texans, it was definitely a pro Oakland Raider crowd down there. It was like a Raider home game.
Yeah.
And the vibe was much different. So that's all.
So it'll be interesting. Maybe you need to book your tickets, Eric, Brad. Maybe Brad will send an entourage down there.
Not sure if that's in the budget, but we'll check it out.
You can work on that. All right, much more coming your way here on the Brad Sesmat Show. Jody Jackson filling in for Brad today. Glad to be here. Coming up next on the show, we've got Peter King, and later on in the show, Michael Fabiano. As always, pleased to be joined now by SI.com senior NFL writer and architect of the Monday Morning Quarterback, Peter King, is joining us this morning. Peter, how are you? Where are you today?
Jody, I'm stupid sometimes. This is a two-thirds day off for me, Tuesday. And so I usually take my dog for an hour and a half walk. I live in New York City. And so I was reminded that we had to do our little segment. And I said, oh, my God, I'm right near Central Park. So I just tried to find kind of a quiet place right here near Central Park. There's going to be the occasional horn honking. And Charlie, the dog, who I call Chuck, is just taking a little break. And then we'll be on with our walk after we talk about all things Arizona.
Well, I love it. And I'm sure you need a little break after the busy Monday when you create the Monday Morning Quarterback. Fantastic information each and every week. But let's talk Cardinals. Yes. Their playoff hopes, we already maybe knew this, Peter, but they were pretty much officially washed away in Miami. Three losses this year by the Cardinals of 4 points or less, and then, of course, the tie with Seattle. And this team just couldn't seem to put it together. First of all, just your reaction to, again, a team that had such high expectations, and now it seems with three games left, they're pretty much officially eliminated.
You know, you hate to pin it all on such... you know, on one area of the team, because it shouldn't be on one area of the team. Everybody shares in this. The coach is sharing it. Everybody does. However, there have been so many gaffes on special teams this year, Jody, and so much poor play on special teams and so many mistakes made. And, you know, honestly, Sunday in Miami was just simply a microcosm. Yeah. You know, and look, I don't know what Bruce Arians and Steve Keim are thinking, but I think they've probably got to start over with a lot of the special teams area. I would not bring Chandler Catanzaro back. You know, I'd look for somebody else to kick. And look, you know, it was sort of a gift all those years, you know, to basically have Lynch as the, you know, as the snapper.
Yeah.
That you honestly felt like He was never going to mess one up.
Yeah.
And so to me, I think that that's worth paying a little bit in free agency if there's a great snapper out there. And again, I've not done my homework on the free agent availability of long snappers, but that's something that the Cardinals have to get right, and they've just got to make their kicking game better. And I think the other thing they have to do in the offseason, Jody, is they have to determine on offense what are they going to do. What happens if Carson Palmer either chooses to retire or they say we'd like to have a more mobile guy back there? Mm-hmm. What happens if Larry Fitzgerald retires? So there are a lot of questions that they're going to have to address come January.
I love your point about, of course, Mike retiring. Hard to imagine your long snapper retiring would be such a big deal. But, you know, Mike and Julie, they were huge in the community here, and that really did turn out to be a pretty big turning point for this team. You mentioned Carson Palmer. I'm curious, how much blame do you think he takes for this season? And my other part to that question is, this O-line right now is so banged up. I think right now there's a fear that he might get hurt in these last three games just behind that line. So kind of a two-part question there with Carson. How much falls on Carson right now?
You know, it always, unfortunately, in our business, the quarterback gets too much blame when you lose and too much credit when you win. But, you know, Carson Palmer has not thrown the ball deep downfield as well as he did a year ago. And I think there are a multitude of reasons for that. I do think that he's under significantly more pressure than he was. So, I mean, their deep passing game, that's what Bruce Arians absolutely loves. Their deep passing game is so significant to everything they do on offense that I just basically look at them and say, if they're not able to throw the ball deep and throw deep well, then that's not a great match. With this coach, because Bruce Arians is going to call those plays. And I think one of the things that Arians has done this year, one of the wise things he's done, is he has looked at the strength of his offense. And the strength of his offense basically has, the biggest strength has been David Johnson. So he's probably run it a little more than he anticipated, and he's probably thrown to the backs and thrown shorter more than he anticipated. That's what a good coach does. He changes what his original plan was. But I do think that it's incumbent on them to find out, A, is Palmer going to be comfortable? Are you going to be comfortable with Palmer basically not being a mobile guy back there with the line you have? And if you're not, what are you going to do about it? Does that involve drafting somebody? Does it involve Tony Romo? What exactly does that involve? So those are questions that I think in January have to be answered.
You know, Peter, you talked about the changes that might happen on special teams, and I agree. I think you look at snapper, kicker, punter, that could look completely different next year. But besides that, for Steve Keim and for Bruce Arians, what else do you see on the to-do list for the Cardinals?
You know, I think a couple of things. I think you've got to get an answer from Larry Fitzgerald. I know that Kurt Warner has told Brad that he thinks this very well could be Larry's last year. I know I talked to him about it in training camp, and he said that absolutely he wouldn't be around to break Jerry Rice's record, but, you know, that's 5 years away. So I think that's one answer you need. And then I also think that on defense, you need to decide, is Chandler Jones going to be a building block that you spend a lot of money on? I think he's played well enough to contend to be your big, splashy free agent signing this offseason. And I think really addressing the front seven is a really big part of what they need to do come January.
Yeah, I think for sure those are areas where they will need to look at, especially the decision with Chandler Jones. So we found out this week that the Cardinals and the Rams will be playing in London week 7 or week 8. And, of course, the Cardinals have played in Mexico, but not across the pond. Your reaction to this news, and just as this has expanded each and every year for the NFL?
You know, look, the NFL is having a harder and harder time finding teams, particularly teams to give up home games. I was talking to Mark Murphy, president of the Packers, last week, and one of the things he told me was that, the Packers don't want to give up a home game, but they also don't want to give up a road game. And the other teams don't want the Packers to give up their road games because you know, look, the Packers travel, you know, 20 or 25,000 fans to a lot of their road games. So those teams that have Green Bay at home, you know, don't want to lose those kind of games. I know teams that have the Patriots on the schedule. They don't want to lose those games. So, I mean, there's a lot of problems. And it, to me, it's amazing the NFL found eight teams, you know, for next year, you know, to do this. I'm going to be doing some reporting on that this week. And I'm really, really curious as to how, you know, they got some of these teams to go. Some of them are going to London for the first time, like Arizona. Mm-hmm. I think this is their first regular season game there. Cleveland, Minnesota, I think it's all of their first regular season game over there. So, I you know, you understand Jacksonville. Jacksonville is trying to plant a flag in the ground over in Europe. They want that to be part of their fan base. Mm-hmm. So to me, I mean, look, I hand it to the NFL. I can tell you these teams don't willingly really want to make that trip. It's a huge distraction to many of them and to many of the coaches. But, you know, the NFL is bound and determined to experiment in Europe and eventually to put a team, I believe, in London.
Yeah, no question. It can be difficult. The travel is one obvious reason, but the NFL getting it done, it's been on their agenda. Now, let me ask you, Peter, was it a surprise to you that the Rams fired Jeff Fisher, especially after announcing an extension?
No, Jody, because I think this it was never certain that, you know, Fisher, who was guaranteed only through 2017, it was never certain he was going to come back anyway. I think Stan Kroenke basically gave him that extra guaranteed year to ensure that there wouldn't be the lame duck questions about Fisher, who had been on the last year of his contract this year. But they had always intended to just basically see how this season went. And when they went down 42-0 at home to Atlanta on Sunday, and the crowd was totally, you know, had so much animosity for the coaching staff and for that team. I think that was the last straw for Kroenke. And I think now he tries to find somebody. We're not sure if Les Snead, the GM, stays. But I think Kroenke now tries to find somebody who he knows can develop Jared Goff. That, to me, is the most important thing they can do right now.
Yeah, no question that it's the quarterback of the future, but has yet to perform. Well, Peter, thanks as always for joining us, and enjoy your day in Central Park.
Hey, Jody, thanks a lot. Great being on with you.
Thank you. Now joined by NFL Network senior fantasy analyst Michael Fabiano. Michael, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, second week of fantasy playoffs right now. Let me just run something by you. Philosophically mm-hmm. speaking, I find that this time of year when it comes to fantasy, you kind of have to look so strongly at the matchup and the state of the opponent and, you know, maybe even go with your gut a little more than simply playing the best player. Can I run that by you? Because let's just say it might have personally affected me and my chances. last week, because, you know, you look at you balance that every week. I think everyone does that. This guy's a better player. He has better numbers versus so-and-so with the better matchup. And I think this time of year in particular, that is a stronger pull. What do you think?
I think it depends on the position. I think that's definitely true at the quarterback position. So, you know, going into last week, I told people there were five quarterbacks I was worried about. It was Aaron Rodgers, who ended up having a great game, but Marcus Mariota, stinker. Drew Brees, stinker. Ben Roethlisberger, stinker. Dak Prescott, stinker. And if you had started Joe Flacco or Andy Dalton or a quote-unquote lesser quarterback from a fantasy standpoint, you had a better chance at winning.
Yeah.
Running back and wide receivers isn't as deep, but I think people also have to remember Brandon Marshall is a name. He's not a startable asset anymore. I'd rather start Tyreek Hill. I'd rather start Taylor Gabriel. I'd rather start Dontrell Inman. So there comes a point, and this happened a while ago, but people sort of cling to name value, at least this deep into the season. Some people do that. You have to let it go.
Yeah.
And when a player like Nuke Hopkins is not producing, when a player like Brandon Marshall is not producing, or Allen Robinson or Todd Gurley, unless the matchup is really good, you sort of have to cut the cord there.
Yeah, Gabriel was on my bench. That was a huge mistake, and I knew it. I felt it in my gut. but I didn't do it. I didn't pull the trigger. So who are
you? Well, you know what? Hey, the thing is that the one thing that's predictable about fantasy football is that it's unpredictable. So you put the best lineup out there and you hope for the best.
So who are you seeing right now on the waiver wire in week 15? Any hot names, any advice?
Well, Kenneth Farrell for sure in San Diego because Melvin Gordon was injured. Bilal Powell in New York because Matt Forte was injured. I mentioned Dontrell Inman.
Yeah.
One guy I really like this week, and there's a lot of quarterbacks who are big names, who have bad matchups. Joe Flacco is playing at home. He's averaging over 18 points per game at home, and he's playing the Eagles, who are giving up over 22 points per game on the road to quarterbacks. So if you need a quarterback, Flacco. Ladarius Green's certainly a startable asset this week. I didn't like him last week, but I think this week he's got a much better matchup against Cincinnati. So there are some players out there that can help you, but I do think typically you're going to be sticking with the players who got you where you are. But in the case of a Melvin Gordon, I mean, Kenneth Farrell suddenly is thrust into the mix there. But keep in mind, Ronnie Hillman is also in that backfield.
So just to follow up with Gordon, he will be out this week. What are you hearing there?
From what I've heard, it doesn't look good.
Okay.
And you have to go into your waiver wire thinking that if you have Gordon, you won't have him for this week, because you always want to make sure you have insurance at that position. That's why I tell a lot of people, once the playoffs start, grab the handcuffs of your top backs, like Alfred Morris, for example, with the Dallas Cowboys. And Farrow's going to end up being a startable asset this week with Gordon injured.
Okay, so when you look at injuries and how they affect the rest of the group, how about Tannehill? It was good news that it is a sprain and not a tear in the knee. But how does that affect some of his targets, Jarvis Landry in particular, Jay Ajayi? I mean, how does that affect Miami and some of those players?
I do think you downgrade those guys a little bit, but it is a good matchup. The Jets' defense is terrible, and they're playing on Saturday night on NFL Network. Just had to get that shameless plug in there. But
absolutely.
Jay Ajayi is clearly playable. Jarvis Landry, especially in PPR leagues, he may not be a one or a two, but he's a flex. I think Parker is also a potential flex starter, but it also depends on what you have around you. You've seen a lot of wide receivers emerge out of nowhere this year, and if you were smart and pick them up off the waiver wire, like a Tyreek Hill, like a Taylor Gabriel, those are guys that I would play ahead of them. But it does hurt a little bit. Overall, though, I don't know how many Dolphins you're actually starting in your fantasy league that aren't named Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, good point. Or you might not be in the playoffs if you have too many of those guys. Let's talk about the Rams a little bit. And now I personally look at that group and say, I don't know if, again, it's a case of how many of those guys are you actually playing. But with Todd Gurley, I mean, you never want to pass up a starting running back. John Fossil taking over. Do you see that affecting anything with Gurley in particular?
Can it be worse?
I mean, no, that's what, you know, probably not.
I mean, let's put it this way. Todd Gurley called that offense a middle school offense. So, and this is a guy who, he was my number one overall pick in standard scoring leagues this year. And boy, was I wrong on that. But even, heck, Nostradamus couldn't have predicted that it would have been this bad. And I'd argue it's more about the offensive line and the fact that they need to get him the football a little bit more than it is him not producing on the gridiron. Now, you're not playing him this week because Seattle's defense is nasty at home against running backs, and they're nasty against everybody. But in Week 16, if you somehow get past your Week 15 matchup and you have Gurley, he's got the Niners, and the Niners are awful against the run. So maybe Gurley helps you win a championship after really being a bust most of the season.
All right, joined by Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst for NFL Network. Finally, Michael, as we take a look at such an important week for playoffs for fantasy owners, just guys that you're wary of going in and maybe guys that are hot names that you say have to be inserted into that lineup.
Yeah, I like Matt Ryan this week against the 49ers. Kirk Cousins on Monday night is a good play. I mentioned Flacco. Not on the Stafford bandwagon. He's got the injured finger, and he's also playing the Giants, which is a bad matchup. Anytime Ben Roethlisberger plays in an outdoor road game, I'm very wary of him. Dak Prescott's got a tough matchup. The Buccaneers defense is playing unbelievable. As of late, at the running back position, you're sticking with your studs typically, but Carlos Hyde is a guy who's got a great matchup. LeGarrette Blount, Latavius Murray, John Stewart's also got is a good play. You can't play Devontae Booker anymore. When you start losing carries to an off-the-street veteran, that's bad news. Gurley is someone that I'm very wary of this week. You've also got to be aware of Mark Ingram, Rashad Jennings as well. If you move on to the wide receiver position, Devontae Adams is basically a must-start at this point. Mm-hmm. I like Steve Smith and Mike Wallace. It's hard to determine who's going to be the better play, but it's a good matchup. Taylor Gabriel, Tyreek Hill, a couple of players I also mentioned earlier. I'm not playing Brandon Marshall, not with Bryce Petty, not with Richard Petty, not with any Petty. I can't play him this week. And I also have to sit Nuke Hopkins, who I mentioned, and Allen Robinson, who I mentioned. And beware Julian Edelman this week, because Denver is where fantasy points go to die for wide receivers. At tight end, I know Delanie Walker had a bad game last week. Keep him in your lineup. Continue to start Zach Ertz. I like Kyle Rudolph this week. And a couple of guys to sit, Kobe Fleener, Jason Witten, and Dwayne Allen, who people found out probably the hard way last week that you shouldn't have chased the fantasy points with.
Yeah, no question. And this is the no-brainer. David Johnson all season long, and no matter how many offensive linemen the Arizona Cardinals lose, now they have DJ Humphreys in the concussion protocol, He's just going to keep piling up points, isn't he?
Number one overall player in fantasy football next year. It's going to be DJ, Zeke, and Le'Veon Bell in some order, but I would think DJ would be number one. And, you know, I've talked to Brad about this too. I know him. He's a great dude, and I'm really thrilled for him because he is putting up one of the best fantasy seasons that we've seen from a running back in a long, long time. So congrats to him. And if you do have him on your fantasy team, send him a note on Twitter and thank him.
Because he will
answer. Because he deserves it. Yeah.
No question. All right, Michael, thank you so much. Michael Fabiano, NFL Network Senior Fantasy Analyst. And welcome back, the Brad Sesmat Show. Jody Jackson filling in. We are streaming on Sports 360 AZ and azcentral.com. So thanks for joining us. And, of course, going into week 15 of the NFL season, some great info there from Peter King and Michael Fabiano. It is that time of year also, though, where we're thinking of the holidays. And it brings to mind kind of a wish list for our teams here in Arizona. It's been documented that this is one of the worst sports years in a long time here. If you look at every team and their record, right, Eric, it's pretty much been that kind of a season. I didn't even realize it was that bad collectively, but then it was pointed out, and there was actually an article written in AZ Central about, the losing record of every team. And that hadn't happened in quite a long time, because every year, if this, you know, the Suns would have the winning team and the others would be losing, or the D-backs, and someone always had it. But this year, no one's coming up with a winner right now.
I put on Twitter last night, all I want for Christmas, hashtag all I want for Christmas, is a Valley professional sports team with a winning record.
Well,
a major, and I know we have the Rattlers, and I know we have the Mercury, and they've been very successful.
Yes, we don't want to discount some of our teams that we love.
But of the Big Four, and we're fortunate enough in Phoenix to have the Big Four, but I know you and I both watched the Coyotes game last night. That was not a thing of beauty. We sat through that Cardinals-Dolphins game. That was not a thing of beauty. No one knows more about the Diamondbacks' struggles than you do over the past couple years. And the Suns are just... We knew the Suns weren't going to be good, but I would think the majority of Planet Orange would think they'd be a little further along at this point than they are.
I think the Suns and the Coyotes, to me, are kind of in a similar boat right
Absolutely.
Now. You've got a lot of young players. You've got a lot of potential talent. It's just a matter of putting it together. And it's just like we've talked about with the Cardinals for the last 2 hours, you know, or the last hour. It's not about one or two guys, even in basketball, where it really can be. Okay, it can really be about one or two guys, but it's so much more than that. And so that's Eric. That's all. You're a simple guy. That's all you want. But I don't know if you're going to get that this year. If it can carry over into 2017 with the D-backs, you know, maybe we're hoping that they can have a winning season.
But again, they're much like the Suns, and they're much like the Coyotes. They're not ready yet. They're just not. You look at the other teams in the NL West, and the Diamondbacks are 3-4 pegs behind the Dodgers and the Giants.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of the situation.
And there's a lot of money on those payrolls on that roster. But so I'm going to give you a little something for each team just to think about. And this one, this is a no-brainer with the Cardinals. For Larry Fitzgerald, now there's no time limit on this, but for Larry, there is a time limit apparently, because he's already talking about the fact that he won't reach Tony Gonzalez. He's already said, I won't reach those two guys, meaning Jerry Rice and Tony Gonzalez. And that means that he won't play past, it seems like, next year or the next year, because it would take him 2.5 or 3 years to reach Gonzalez. So we're doing the math. We're figuring out what he said. You have to read into all this. It's cryptic. He won't say what he's doing. But I would hope he'll come back for next year. I think we all think that would happen, but, you know, you never know. For Larry, on the wish list for me, a championship, of course. Next year, as much as this team has struggled this year, I think they can be right back in it again next year. I think a lot of the pieces, maybe I'm in the, you know, I don't know if I'm in the minority there. I don't think I'm maybe in the majority, because a lot of people think they need a new quarterback. I'm not one of them. But I think they can be right back in it, and there is a chance, and that Larry Fitzgerald gets that championship that he so deserves. I wish that for Larry.
It's sort of depressing that we're here, what, 10, 11 days before Christmas, and we're already talking about the 2017 regular season with the Cardinals, not the 2017 Super Bowl or the 20 or hosting a game or two in the 2016-17 playoffs. Yeah, I would think that next season, maybe the lower expectations will do this team good. Maybe they can go back to the we're not bleep, we're just like every other run-of-the-mill NFL team, instead of being hoisted up on this summer pedestal of greatness that all or nothing sort of propelled this franchise into. And we talked about off the air. I mean, you set yourself up for a nasty fall when everyone tells you how good you are. And to a man, I mean, Bruce Arians said it's Steve Keim said it's Super Bowl or bust. I mean, internally they're going to say those things, but a lot of times these franchises, the Cleveland Browns knew before the season started they weren't going to the Super Bowl. Let's just cut to the chase.
Didn't work for them, though.
No, it didn't. But you think the Cardinals made to the NFC Championship?
Well, it happened to the Panthers, too, wouldn't
you say?
It did.
Absolutely. Great analogy. Same deal.
I mean, it just, no matter how hard you try, it happens. It happened to the Seahawks a few years ago. The one team it doesn't seem to happen to, two teams maybe, really, the Patriots and the Steelers. They seem to...
Especially the Patriots. They're there. It's just they're there every They're just there.
That's the leadership of the coach, and not to diminish what Bruce Arians and Carson Palmer are all about, but Belichick and Brady have shown to be pretty bulletproof in that area, where no matter who else joins the team, no matter who goes down, you know, they're there.
Yeah, their blueprint is so unique. The Patriots just have a way of not only getting the most out of their players, but they know when to bring guys in. They know when to let guys go. I mean, Chandler Jones, like the Patriots, there they are. They're still going to be, they still could easily make the Super Bowl. No Chandler Jones. No problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
Just reload. They do. They do it time and time again. How about this, though, for the D-backs? Let me throw this at you. My wish for Greinke, Miller, Taijuan Walker, Patrick Corbin, Robbie Ray to become one of the more formidable rotations in the NL West. Now, how do you do that, right, against the Giants and the Dodgers? But let's aim high this holiday season, Eric.
That makes one of us. I have my all I want for Christmas is a 500 season from the Diamondbacks next year.
Okay. Kirk Gibson was good at the 500.
He was.
It got him
he
fired.
Was. And I think progress is important for the Diamondbacks, because they're so far off. I mean, last year was just bad in so many different ways.
You hate to use the A word. Offense hasn't been bad.
Well, you hate to use the A word in sports, apathy. And there was a lot of apathy around the Diamondbacks last year.
Well, they were out of it. You know, it's funny. Everyone in the NL West was about 500 after April, and they had a chance. You know, they had this chance, and they never took it. And they just couldn't get it going, and the pitching just doomed them, and the bullpen just doomed them.
Pedro Gomez said it best, Jody, with Brad a couple years ago on the show. He said, you cannot win a division in April and May, but you can certainly lose one. Yep. And that's come to fruition with the Diamondbacks.
Totally on point. As for the Coyotes, it was disappointing last night, 7-0 against Pittsburgh. They are the Stanley Cup champs. But as Dave Tippett put it, we did not play or compete at an NHL level. And that's all he had to say in the postgame. You could just see the steam coming out of his ears. Not happy at all. They played a night at Detroit, Fox Sports Arizona. Check it out. And as for the Suns, double-digit wins, Eric, you say, is a good holiday wish list?
I said that in jest, but yeah, I mean, progress.
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 And for, you know what, for the Coyotes, let me say this. They have a lot of young, promising players. They have Shane Doan, of course, who's a great leader. But Mike Smith, okay, this is a guy who... He's that piece, that cornerstone that you need a goaltender. When he's healthy, he can be that guy. So for him, I wish to face less than 40 shots tonight at Detroit. Okay, we'll start with that. So there you have a little bit of my holiday wish list. You know, if my family's watching, I could also use a new handbag or maybe some earrings. But, you know, sports is pretty much the other side of my life beyond my family. So that's the holiday wish list. And so it's been fun filling in for Brad. He will be back with you tomorrow here streaming on Sports 360 AZ and azcentral.com. Thanks once again for joining us, and hope you have a wonderful rest of your week as we march toward the holidays. Happy holidays, everyone.